In Matthew 5, Jesus basically, he goes through this list of things called the Beatitudes, which is kind of an interesting name. But what it is, the Beatitudes is really, it's kind of like an Old Testament literary device, which basically kind of goes along the lines of, happy are you who does whatever, because then this will happen to you. Does that sort of make sense? So it's like, you know, happy are those who are poor, for they will inherit the kingdom of God, is an example of the Beatitude. And so it's not, it's a kind of a strange name, but for Jesus' listeners at the time, when they heard him talking like that, they went, ah, yeah, okay, I know what he's doing, because that was already in the Old Testament law. There's this sense of the promises of God, that you'll be blessed, you know, if you have this kind of attitude, or you live this way. And so the whole context before that is, it actually says that Jesus went out, and it says when he started his ministry, and in Matthew 4:17 says that Jesus preached, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And repent is kind of like this old school word, right, that you might have heard if you've been around church circles. And it kind of has this idea, if you've been in church circles, that it kind of sounds like it's really quite sort of, you know, like repent and turn, you know, that kind of thing. And it's quite strict in that. But actually, it's just this word that means to change your mind. It just means to change your mind. It means I used to think this way and now I think this way. That's all it means. And but it's not just a change of mind. It's a total change. So it's like, I used to think this way, but now I think this way to such a degree that it changes the trajectory of my life, that I'm actually moving in a different direction than I used to. And so the Bible says, let there be fruit in keeping with that, in keeping with repentance. In other words, if you say you've changed the way that you think, then let there be fruit, you know, in that. But that was Jesus' message. So it goes around, it says that he preached, change your mind because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're about to kind of move into a little bit of a series that's talking about the kingdom of God and what it actually means. But he's saying that the kingdom of God is actually right here. It's within your reach. Everybody wave your hand at me. Just wave your hand at me, okay? Yeah, it's within your grasp. It's at hand. It's right here. You wouldn't say something's at hand if it's a long way away. And so when you look at Scripture and you see the kingdom of God, you see it's kind of like the kingdom is not just one day when I die that I'm going to go to heaven. That's not the sense of it. Like, I mean, that's a reality that you'll be with the presence of God when you die. But there's this reality where the kingdom of God it's just exploding into real life right now. It's crashing into the reality of your life now, that you can live and engage with God's rule and his reign as a king in your life right now. And so that was a whole part of Jesus' ministry, was actually telling people, hey, man, there's a reality where you can actually encounter God now, where you can live in the promises of God that are to come. You can actually access those now. You can access freedom and salvation and forgiveness. And, you know, anybody ever here lived with regret? Felt like they lived with regret? Yeah. Anyone here felt like they lived with just like turmoil, being in turmoil, you know? Or felt with guilt? Felt like you lived with guilt? Man, yeah, I'm telling my story here, you know? All of those things, big tick. And yet, here's the beauty of the kingdom of God is that here and now you can step into something called freedom, something called peace, something called healing for your life. And so Jesus that's the context of he's sharing to everybody. And then he goes in and he describes these Beatitudes, the whole thing of, you know, happy are those who are merciful, happy are those who are meek. And then he goes on and he talks about the effectiveness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, just whether you're effective or not in that. And it's completely tied in with these whole list of you know, maybe attitudes or ways of living. And so it says, Jesus says this, he says, you're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot. If you're the light of the world, not if you are, you are the light of the world. So he's giving another metaphor here. He's saying, well, firstly, you're salt. You are salt. And secondly, you are light. And he gives a picture. He says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And so he's probably talking about Jerusalem on the hillside. And it's like the light of that shines for a long way. So he's not saying that it's actually kind of like an optional thing. It just is, you know, a light or a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And then he says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So he's saying, man, the way that you live your life, you live a life towards others, you live a life that demonstrates who you are, and people see that, and they don't come along and pat you on the back and go, man, you're so amazing. They go, wow, that has to be God. It's like when people see your life, they see the goodness of your life, the way that you live for others, the way that you don't hide who you are, it ends up with them looking up. And so he's kind of effectively saying a disciple of the kingdom who doesn't live like a disciple is about as useful as unsalty salt or invisible light. And unsalty salt is quite a funny picture, isn't it? Because if you've done any kind of chemistry, like you know that salt just is. Salt is salt. So how do you get unsalty salt? And it's kind of like this, it's kind of a funny picture. And effectively, he's saying it's just not possible. It's inconsistent. So this scripture, man, it's a cool scripture. And it basically says a few things. So firstly, people have kind of pointed out, you know, salt and light, and they've talked about salt and light, and they've said, well, you know, it kind of implies that it affects things. So you put salt on food, and what does salt do with food? Anybody? Is it going to use you? Makes it salty? Yeah, that's excellent. Anyone else? What does salt do? Enhances the flavor of it. That's right. Yeah, what else does it do? Preserves. Yeah, that's right. And all those things are kind of inherent in that picture of salt. And you could apply that to the Christian life, couldn't you? Like you could apply that to someone who knows Jesus and lives a life of love. And all those things ring true. And those are things that are not actually said in the text, right? But it's great and they're true. It's extending that picture. But what he actually says is also this. It's just saying, you are. He's saying, you are salt and you are light, so be that. So he's not actually giving an option. He's saying that's in your nature. It's in the nature of salt to be salty. It's in the nature of light to be lighty. It's in your nature as a disciple to reflect Jesus. Do you get it? Do you get the picture of what he's saying? It's incongruent not to. Like to hide your light is actually not who you are. But by living for Jesus and knowing Jesus, it's a product of actually who you are. It's natural for you to affect the world positively. It's natural for you to enhance the world around you, to influence it's natural for you to pray. It's natural for you to share the truth. And if you tie that back into what he said about these Beatitudes, he's saying it's unnatural for you not to be merciful. It's unnatural for you not to be meek, which means humble and teachable. It's unnatural not to be that way. It's unnatural for you not to thirst for a relationship with God, for a right relationship with God and right relationship with other people. Is what righteousness means. It's unnatural not to hunger for that. It's unnatural not to be a peacemaker. It's unnatural not to be pure in heart. Now, if you read that, you're going, oh, crumbs, like, oh, I just had this argument with my workmate the other day, or, you know, that kind of thing. Just understand that in that moment, that was being unnatural, but actually who you are remains. When you come to Jesus, it's like the Bible says, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You become something completely new. You become a new creation. And now it's natural for you to be merciful. It's natural for you to love. It's natural for you to be a peacemaker. It's natural for you to shine the light of God wherever you go. So because of that, and we're kind of talking a little bit about sharing our faith here, and a word for that is evangelism. So, you know, you've often heard evangelism and that kind of thing, and it's this great big word, but it's just about sharing your faith. And it's not a program. It's not about, hey, we're all going to go down to the village and we're going to share our faith. It's not even a gift, okay? Because the Bible talks about evangelists, who are people who actually train the church in works of service. But it's not, evangelism is not a gift. It's actually just being who you are. It's being congruent. It's being genuine with who you are. It's not hiding your light. It's always being ready. There's this scripture that says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have to people. So, yeah, I want to share with you something that happened on an airplane recently. Because I just end up having stories about airplanes, because you sit on a plane and you end up sitting next to somebody for an hour or so. And I just kind of felt, actually, when I got on the plane, that I didn't really want to talk to anybody. And so I kind of got on the plane. I was in an exit row, so I'm like, sweet, it means I've got room, so I can put my laptop open and I can play one of the movies that I saved on my laptop, and I can just disengage and hit some time out. And then this guy came into the row, and then he sat like over the side, so there's a seat in between us. So I was like, cool, I don't have to talk to him, and I just have my space and that kind of thing. And I'm like, cool. And you know, I mean, there's just times you feel like you want your own space, and that's all good. So anyway, I've bought some vinyl records while I was in Christchurch, because I collect vinyl records, and if anyone has old vinyl records that they're thinking of getting rid of, just come and see me. And so I brought those in, and they're a little bit, you know, fragile, so I put them up in the, you know, up in the locker up the top, and then I just kind of carefully sort of, you know, positioned my laptop on top, because I'm sitting in X row, so it has to go up when you're taking off. And then this guy comes in, and he's like, oh, do you mind if I stick mine on top of there? And I'm thinking of the weight on my records, and I'm kind of getting a little bit like, oh, you know, kind of thing. Oh, I suppose it's just vinyl, you know, kind of thing. And I'm being a bit silly. And so anyway, he sits down, and then, like, as we're flying, like, he starts pushing the button for the flight attendant, and they're coming all the time to see him. And I just started to judge him. Like, and I'm serious, like, I just started to judge this guy. I was like, he's one of those difficult passengers, you know? And then it's like, I got my laptop out and I've got my screen up against the seat in front. And the next minute he puts his seat back like this. And I'm just like, and it's wedging my laptop, like, screen underneath it. And I'm like, I grabbed the seat, like, to kind of push it forward. And, like, I'm feeling now like I'm the difficult passenger. And he, like, turns around, and I'm like, oh, sorry, it was just crushing my screen. And he's like, he's got an accent, and he's like, oh, was it okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's okay, you know. And he said, oh, it's my big belly, I just need to put my seat back, you know. And I'm like laughing and stuff, but like secretly I'm kind of judging him. And then it's like, you know, he's just calling the flight attendants and was in this kind of silly kind of space. I'm just being honest. And so then, like, the flight lands, and so I get up and I pick his laptop out and pass it to him, and he's like, oh, thank you, you know. And so we're standing up, just kind of waiting, and then he turns to me and starts talking to me, and he says, oh, you know, are you coming home? And I'm like, yeah, Auckland, you know, I'm from Auckland. And I said, what about yourself? He's like, oh, no, I'm catching another flight, you know. Like, where are you going? He's like, Iceland. And I'm like, wow, Iceland. And I'm like, what are you doing in New Zealand? You're on holiday. And he said, oh, no, I come here 4 times a year. And I'm like, wow, what are you, like, 4 times a year? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a ship's captain, and I bring a boat down from the Northern Hemisphere 4 times a year. And then we go fishing, and we're down all the way down Antarctica, and then, you know, bring the boat back in, and then, you know, then I fly home. And I'm suddenly really intrigued, and he's got this big ring on with this big anchor, and I'm like, this dude's like a ship's captain. And I'm kind of asking him questions about it. And he's just like, he's really, really engaged. And I start to see he's actually this really nice guy. And so so we kind of shake hands, and I kind of wish him well and things. And then we get out of the plane, and I just had this feeling like I cut it short, you know what I mean? Like I was actually shouldn't have just said, hey, all the best, you know, but I should have actually like said something to him. And we're going down the escalator right into the airport, and we stop right at the bottom. And he turns to me and he says, so what do you do? And I have a problem because I have no excuses. Like, you know, it's like, but it's not really that. It's actually that, like, I quite like that as well because it means I kind of get to say, well, I'm a pastor, which kind of gives me an easy on-ramp, if that kind of makes sense, you know. But sometimes that kind of doesn't work because you say I'm a pastor and people are like, you know, but this guy is like, he's like, oh, wow, what kind of church do you go to? And I'm like, a Pentecostal church. And he's like, looks blankly at me. And I'm like, do you know what that means? And he's like, no. And I'm like, I think he is Icelandic, but his mother's, no, he's Hungarian and his mother's in Iceland. I think that's how it is. He lives in Hungary. And anyway, He's like asking me, and I said, well, it's a Protestant church. And he's like, ah, Protestant church. He's like, I go to a Lutheran, my whole family goes to Lutheran church, and they're born again, but I'm not born again. And so I was like, really? I said, why are you not born again? And he's like, I just don't have time. And I was like, yeah, I love this, man. I'm just looking quizzically at him now going, what do you mean? And I was like, but you know, like, following Jesus is not about going to church, right? He's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, but it's like it's about this relationship with God. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I just kind of don't have time. I said, but, man, I said, you must see some amazing things that make you believe in God while you're out on the open ocean. And he goes, yeah, I do. He said, I do believe, absolutely believe. And I said, but, and it's just like I can feel the presence of God on me. And I look at him and I say, you've got 11 hours now on a flight. You've got time. And I said, I feel that I was meant to meet you. And just to tell you that God really loves you. And he's like, well, I used to be born again. And I said, brother, I said, there's no used to be. Jesus has your heart in his hands. And I said, I just think that I was meant to meet you because God's just tapping you on the shoulder and just saying, hey, just remember me. And I said, you can just be aware of him wherever you are at the helm of your ship or, you know, like you don't have to, like, you know, have all this time, but just be aware of him and journey with him in the reality of your life. And I said, can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah, sure, yeah, please. And I said, can I pray for you now? And he's like, now at the bottom of the escalator as people are going past, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay. And so I didn't even put my hand on. I just prayed for him right there, and I just asked for Jesus to have an encounter with him. And it's like he just grabs my hand, and it's like he's just like sort of trying to hug me and kind of pump my hand at the same time. And it's like he just won't let me go. It's just like, and I just went, oh, Jesus, I'm so dumb sometimes. I totally judged him. And I'm sorry for that, but I'm so glad that I saw the moment, that I wasn't so wrapped up in myself, that when that moment came where I saw somebody who just so wanted to know about God, that they opened their heart, you know, they were open. And I was able to go, you know what? Because actually that's who I am, not a pastor, I'm a Christian. And just point to Jesus. And it was like I said to him, I said, man, I'm probably never going to see you. I said, I will see you again. That's what I said. I will see you again. Maybe in this life. Maybe in the next one. And then my bag came on the carousel and I had to run out. And it was like just a moment. But just, you know, I didn't plan that. But God brought that. And I just think we've got to have our eyes open. I want to ask these guys to share now, because I none of us sitting up the front here are experts, but we've just had moments where it's God's helped us to be aware of other people, and we've chosen to partner with that. So who wants to go first? Who wants to share something? Ethan wants to share.
Can you guys hear me? Or do you prefer with the microphone? With the microphone, no problem. Cool. So mine, I've got basically the way God uses me, I believe, is through dreams, sharing my dreams, and also through instant healings. Most of the time with the instant healings, it's very easy. So it's like not me who does it. So for example, or scripturally speaking, you know, you've got Jesus when he first meets the disciples and he says to them, put down your net for a catch. They see this miraculous sign and then he says, now on, you're going to fish for men. It's basically just going to be so easy because you've seen my power at work. It's just going to naturally happen. So for my example of this is when I actually started having real experience with God. It just came natural to share those. So for example, I've had dreams and sharing those with friends at university or something like that. So for example, a dream that I've had that was real to me was one day I heard a little message like a preaching and it said, just talk to God. You know, you don't have to have massive or amazing prayers. Just say what you want to say to God. So I go home, knelt by the bed, and I just say to God, lost for words, and I just say, sup. Nothing happens, no immediate voice back, but I just forget about it, go on my every day. And then about 2 months later, I'm babysitting at the Gilbert's house. You probably know Helen Gilbert. You come here often. And she says, oh, I had a dream about you the other day. And already feeling the emotion of it. Had a dream about you the other day. Can I share? And I said, yeah, sure, let's go. And she says, oh, you and I were in a room, and Jesus walks into the room, and he just stuck out his fist to you and said, sup. Does that mean anything to you? And just little things. Like, that's just one example. And the way I share this is usually someone will be saying something, and you just get that little impression, like that testimony will come back to mind. And when you share it, it's just easy because it was real for you. You don't have to force it, and they can hear the sincerity. And I think the cool thing about dreams is that you can speak about it objectively with someone and analyze it together. So you kind of put the dream out there in front of them, and then you talk about it. So it's not like, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. It's like, what do you think of this dream? It was quite weird, eh? And then, you know, you kind of have that sort of conversation. Instant healing, so I've had them at basketball a lot. So basically there's a scripture that says the Lord knows the way of the righteous. So basically whether you go here, there, your passionate place or whatever, God's with you in that sort of place. So for example, I've had a younger friend from high school playing basketball, smashes his finger, runs out of the gym in pain, and I just had that little tap in the heart, God saying, just go with him. So I go with him, and not necessarily a Christian or anything, and just flows naturally. And I say, oh, can I pray for him? And he's like, yeah, sure. Pray for him. He's like, oh, expletive. I didn't even know that stuff worked, you know, and his thumb's immediately healed. And another basketball guy, I say, you know, can I pray for you? And he says, yeah, sure. I put my hands in. He's a bit awkward. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? Pray. And he's like, oh, how did that happen? You know what I mean? And he's, you know, quite stunned and shocked. And it's even better when there's a combination of dreams and healing. So one night I spent actually the night before, I was reading through scripture, and Jesus says, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I looked through Jesus speaking, and this is the King James, and he's always talking about the kingdom of God and healing virtue. So I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, lying in my bed going, kingdom of God come, healing virtue flow, just over and over and over. Nothing happens, fall asleep. I'm still praying in my dream that same prayer, and this presence of God would come every time I'd pray it, and slowly rise, pray again, come. And eventually it came upon me, and I could look straight ahead, and I saw an injured body, sore head, sore lower back, and sore left ankle. So I received the dream. In the morning, I'm biking to work, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I've got a sore back and sore head, so that's probably for me, but my ankles are good. I get to work, I'm doing the open shift with my boss at about 6 a.m., and she says, oh, I was up all night with a sore ankle. And I say, okay, here we go. I said, oh, can I pray for you? And she's like, okay. I pray for her, and she's like, oh, expletive. You know, it's healed. and I'll, you know, come to church and I'll give, you know, praise to God or whatever. She was planning to go to the doctors that day, you know, didn't need to go anymore, so that was quite cool. It's just a matter of that not giving answers to questions people aren't asking. So you wait for the question, and then you have an opportunity to share. And just God bringing things back to your heart. Like if you haven't thought about a testimony for months and months, then you're just all of a sudden thinking about it and they start talking about that topic. You know, there you go. You kind of have your platform. You could give another testimony if you really want one, but yeah, go ahead. So another one that I've been really blessed to have, although it was a really difficult season. So I went through a season where I was really, really discouraged at the end of my rope, and God really rescued me in that. And he's been able to use that testimony for people struggling with just end of the rope, I think I can put it that way, situations where just I was going through a tough season and had good old Judy say, cry out to God and he'll show you the way to go. So I got sick one day at work, spent the whole day spewing at both ends for 8 hours, just an absolute nightmare. And I just couldn't cut it. I was spending every day, felt like on my own, and just wake up, go to work, go home, go to sleep, wake up, go to, and it's just the same cycle. I'm just feeling pretty depressed. And I'm crying out to God on the beach, Cheltenham Beach, 10 o'clock at night, and just saying, look, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. And then it was as if another person was just standing right in front of me. And I was thinking, do I go to Bethel? Do I go to YWAM? Do I go over here? Just out of the blue, just, I love you. And I'm starting to weep there on the beach. And he says, I'm faithful till the end. And I just kept saying, what do you want me to do? Because I'm stuck. And he said, just trust me and just walk with me. And that's all he asked. And since that day, everything just went back up. You know, I had my real encounter, because you see, all these people who came up to Jesus, they had their own story. And they came to him and they got the wisdom that they needed. You know, for example, I'd read all the scriptures, like, oh, God's saying this, and God's saying that, God said that, God said that. But really, they came to him, like the rich ruler said, what do I do, Jesus, to have eternal life? Then he gave the rich ruler exactly what he needed to hear for him to have eternal life. So I finally had my moment where I can go, I went to God, I found out what he asked of me, just to trust him and walk with him. And I learned about who he was in the process and who I am. He loves me. He's faithful. And now I have my testimony. So if I'm with someone who's struggling with suicide or on their last breath, you know, that sort of place, I can share that. And it's been quite instrumental. So, yeah, that's little of what God's done. So, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Where to start? I've always been, like, very feisty, like I am still, when it comes to so just sharing my faith and who God is will be with, you know, inside church with the church family and people who share the same belief. It's easy, you know, it's your comfort zone, it's all right. But outside church, when you go to work and you have struggles, like, you know, you have people that do not understand your heart, they don't see you for who you are. With my previous job, my current job is amazing, but like that was like a few years ago. I was like, something happens, I'm like, yeah, I'm angry, like I just want to sit on this, God, like I know I have to forgive that person, but I'm just gonna sit on this for a while, like just give me my time so I'll be ready, I will forgive, but not yet. But God changed my heart, like, you know, the more you experience his mercy, which is new every morning, you actually want to become like him. And then the more you become like him, the people are going to see it. As you said, the light, the salt. And one day, I decided that I actually want to say what he says, see what he says, and go where he would go. And I kept praying that all my life, and I was like, God, I just want to hear what you say, would say to people, and I want to be like you. If you're inside me, I want to be more like you. Despite my personal, you know, journey, or what God has told me to do, asked me to do, I pursued something that he wanted me to do, and things didn't go well, and I was so angry. But he blessed me with this new job, with new people. I was like, oh, maybe you actually want me to be here. So it doesn't matter what I, you know, I was like, you know, I was faithful to you. You asked me to do something. I did it. I did everything that you want me to do. I'm like, wow, like angry at God. I didn't want to talk to him at all. But I was like, you know, that's fine. Where I am is fine. And then I met these people and I was like, wow, I can see their hearts. I can literally like see their hearts. And I'm like, I'm not judging. I was very judgmental. I judged everybody. I used to judge everyone. Like, oh, what is she wearing? Or like, you know, my old self and my human side. And I, like, I was there and there was this guy. He was very lovely and he's awesome, but he's broken. He's gay and he's more like, you know, more feminine than I am. And I was like, wow, God, like, you know, what would you say to him? Like, you know, because I was like, I don't know, I get intimidated by them because I don't know if they will like me because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, if they would they like me? And I was like, you know, it's okay. Whatever you're going to do, like, you do. And I went out for a drink with this other girl and him. We went shopping, but instead we had a glass of wine. And we were just chatting and they were talking about music. And I'm like, oh, yeah, music is great. Like, I listen to worship music every morning because it fills my spirit and it gives me the strength. And they're like, yeah, you're a Christian? And I'm like, yeah. And then I was like, you know, he's my number one and I'm not ashamed to deny it. I don't know if you'll see me differently from that comment, but I would never deny it because he is my number one. And he was like, oh yeah, I believe in God, which was not the answer that I expected. And I said, sorry, something's wrong with my phone. And I said, so he was like, yeah, I was suicidal. He was said, you know, because of his identity and his parents denied him that guilt and shame. And I'm like, wow. And he shared his story where he was crossing the road to kill himself, to get run over by a big truck. And this light came and pulled him out of the road. And I was like, wow, that's great. And I shared him my story where I was about to take my life, where I heard his voice. He said, don't do it, that's not who you are. And we had that instant connection, and I'm like, Lord, I'm so grateful that you gave me the courage to see his heart. And since then, I've been seeing people's hearts, and God's been opening doors. There's been people sharing their deepest, darkest secrets with me, that God has actually entrusted me with something greater than I. It's bigger than what you expect. And when he does that, and when people start sharing their stories, you get that opportunity that you actually can be the light and that hope for him. And that's what I really love about God, is that no matter how dark or how painful your journey's been, he always uses that, your testimony, to bless someone, be that hope, and encourage somebody. So, yeah, I think that's enough, right? So, yeah, that's how I've been sharing my faith, because I've always been really scared of telling people who aren't Christians about my faith. But, yeah. When he wants to use you, he uses you. And when he's preparing you, he prepares you. So just submit to the preparation and that season which I've learned. And when he's ready, when you're ready or not, in his timing, it will happen. And just be bold and, yeah, know who he is. Oh, that's the other thing. When I face a challenge, or when I feel challenged by people, or if I feel like somebody's doesn't like me, or they, yeah, it happens constantly, And I'm always saying to myself, I am actually too blessed to be offended. I know my identity in Him. I know whose I am, and I know who I am. So that's what I keep saying to myself. So when you know your identity in Him, it's fine. You can share your faith and, yeah, just be you. Cool.
Man, that's so cool. I love what you said about how you saw these people and you saw their hearts. And I just think that's just so Jesus. He saw people. Like, He saw Zacchaeus, who, you know, everybody else wouldn't have wanted Jesus to see him because they didn't want to see him. But Zacchaeus is this little tax collector who's effectively a traitor to his people, to the Jewish people. He's working for the Romans. But Jesus saw him in a tree. But He didn't just see him physically. Like, he actually saw what this guy needed. He's like, you know, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to eat at your place today. It's been ordained by the Father that I, you know. And that moment, just that moment of encounter, actually turned that guy's heart so much that he said, you know what, I'm just going to give back everything I've stolen from people. And I'm going to repay them four times as much. Like, and Jesus is like saying about this guy, man, he's more of a son of Abraham. He's more of a Jew than a lot of years. He didn't say it to them, but he's saying, you know, salvation's come to this guy's house today. But he saw him, you know, he saw, you know, the leper who desperately needed a touch. He needed to be restored back into community, and he healed him, but he embraced him, which you don't do to a leper. But he knew that this guy, what he needed was not just a physical healing. He actually needed emotional healing. He actually needed a social healing, a restoration. He saw him. And I think that's a big part of it, is actually just, Lord, would you open my eyes so that I'll see people around me, that I'll see hearts, that I'll hear what you're saying, you know. And then just pointing people to Jesus, you know. You got two things. You've got your testimony, you've got your story, so you can share that. But if people come and they say all kinds of things, well, you know, what does the church think about gay people? What does the church think about Donald Trump? What does the church, you know, think about this situation that's going on, that kind of thing? And often those questions can be really curly. I just think point people back to Jesus, because Jesus was the perfect representation of the Father. So if you saw it in the life of Jesus, it was legitimate. How did He treat outcasts? How did He treat people? You know, the way that He broke past social taboos and cultural traditions and that kind of thing to love people. It's profound. The more you read about Jesus, the more you know Him, then you will treat people the way that He did. But point people to Jesus. That's so important. And then the last thing I'd say is just make room for an encounter. Like, so can I pray for you? You'd be amazed at the people. Most people don't say no. Most people don't say no. I've prayed for all kinds of people who you would think would never be open to you praying for them. But somehow that question seems to get past so many walls. Can I pray for you? People say, yeah. Yeah, I would love that you would actually say something positive over my life. I would love that you would ask a God who I'm not sure if I believe in, that He would do something good over me. People want that. And what it does is it sets up a moment, an opportunity for an encounter with God. And you know what, I'm going to stop. But I just hope that's been encouraging to you today. And awesome. Thank you guys for coming and sharing. Give these guys a hand this morning. So good. I'm just going to pray and we're going to wrap up. So, Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we're family. We're your people, we're your church. That Lord, we have you in common as our Father. And I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, for each of us this week, that we would just know and experience what it is to be salt, to be light, to be who we really are. Lord, that we would, yeah, let go of those moments of fear that might hold us back from really loving people and really showing people who you are. And Lord, pray that we would see people and see the opportunity all around us to positively influence somebody. and to love somebody important towards you. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.